Larry, how long you been doing Lost Children now? 13 years. 13, geez Louise. 13 years. So I remember Larry went over to Peru and with Jordan, right? Jordan and was doing some of the ministry over there with the orphan kids, and the Lord got a hold of Larry's heart. And so he was going over there for a few years. Then he sold his business and went over there full time. Now, what's impressive about Larry is a couple of things. He's got a father's heart, and every time I have been over there with him, I am in awe and humbled at the heart he has for these kids. And I have been challenged with my own heart towards my own kids in that. Second of all, Larry was had several businesses before he did the last one, which was a B&B in town. And Larry was very successful at those businesses. And when he could have sold his business and retired and had a life of luxury, he sold his business and has given his life to a life of ministry. And that's impressive, because most of America and most Westerns live for retirement. Larry lives for the kingdom. And I am in awe of that he has made that choice and is doing that. And the organization has grown. I think he told me today, is it 35, Larry? 35 employees? 15. Oh, 15. Okay, I don't know where I got 35. Maybe we're believing for 35. But anyways, 15 employees that work with him now. And they have expanded beyond just orphans and widows. And he'll share about that. So let's welcome up Larry. I want to pray for him and then let him share. Actually. Let's pray. Father, just thank you for Larry. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in and through him, Lord, and through those that he's connected with over there. And Lord, I ask that you would give anoint him, Lord Jesus, for what he's going to share with us. Lord, I ask that you would enlarge our heart and our vision for our lives. Lord, whether it is reaching to someone out across the street, or across the aisle, across the table, or across the ocean, Lord, I ask that you would enlarge our heart and our capacity to influence those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
David, thanks to you and Karen. Thank you guys for allowing me to speak today. You know, real briefly here, when we were worshiping, I had the honor yesterday of going out and speaking with Sheldon and Kathy and the boys, and I looked over while we were worshiping the Lord, and I looked over and I saw a broken hand with the cast raising her hand. And it's such an amazing example, Kathy, of what God wants us to do when it comes to praise and worship, and that's to give everything that we have that's broken to him. And I just thought, I saw you over there, and I thought that was just so amazing. So I just bless you and your family's life. I spent half my life working for the orphans, the other half raising my boys. And I turned 59 years old this year, and I got glasses for the first time. So I spent a third of my life working for the orphans and the poor, a third of my life raising my boys, and the other third of my life cleaning my glasses. I had no idea you had to clean your glasses like that. So all you people that have had glasses all your life, I have respect for you. My middle son, Kevin, told me the other day, he said, "Dad, your jokes are just like you. They're a little rusty." Hey, listen, I want to share just a couple things. I want to hand these to David. If you haven't signed up, just an email so we can tell you what's going on in the world. I'm going to hand these to David so we can just pass these around. And then just give them to David, and he'll get them to our office in Denver. And so I'd appreciate you guys doing that. We have some great programs we're doing. We're starting a program really briefly on donating your change. And so what it is, it sets up where we have a, we're going to launch a site where you can go to your credit card, and like, let's say you charge something for $1.92, well, it will roll it over to $2, and the 8 cents will go to us. And there's limits you can set and so forth. And you think, well, how will 8 cents help? Well, if hundreds and hundreds of people do it, it will help. And so we're going to have some programs. So if you guys would sign up, we would really appreciate that very much. And it just lets you know what we're doing in the world, you know. And even though you guys don't see me, we're still doing the same thing, which I'm going to show you this morning. If you guys would, if you show the next picture here, if you would. That is my son. I have three sons now. That's my oldest son, Pacho. He's to the left in the picture, and my other son, Kevin. They're 25 and 22 now. My son, Pacho, has come alongside me in the ministry, and he's kind of my right-hand man. And my other son is finishing school right now, but he helps in the ministry a lot. And then I have another son who's not in this picture. He's 16, and his name is Santiago. This picture was taken down toward Chile, a place called Paracas. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And so we get to escape there every once in a while and just go down in the desert. The next picture here, I want to tell a story. And I know there's a lot of little guys in here this morning, so we're going to move forward. And I have a really cool story, and I know that these little kids raise money for us here at the church right now. And so I was wanting to tell them a story about this little boy here in the picture. And so I was wanting all the little guys, all you little guys, I promise you I'll be really kind to you, and I got a story to tell you. So if you guys would come up here, all you little guys, come on. Kathy told me you'd come, so come on, guys. Come on. Come on, I got a cool story. And just sit down right here. There you go. Thank you. Thank you. Perfect. Look at this. This is pretty awesome. Guys, this is your future. I'll never forget it. Come on in. Yeah, come on down. Good job. Come on over here, guys. Thank you. Thank you. See the picture right there with the little boy with the chicken on his shoulder? Well, his name is Christian, and he's a cool little buddy of mine. And he lives in a really, really, really poor area. And when I say poor, I mean really poor. He doesn't have a bathroom in his house. And he doesn't have electricity. And he gets to go to school, but he doesn't have enough money to buy pencils or paper. And his home that he lives in is very, very poor. I'm going to show you a video here in a little bit about his life. And the house that we built for him. But his home before was old wood that was falling over, and he had holes in this roof. So when it rained, he would get very wet and very cold. And a cool story happened to him. So I always, when I go over there, I always have candy in my pocket. But I didn't have any candy this day. And he saw me, and he came running because he knows that I always have candy in my pocket. But I had two little coins in my pocket. And so I handed him the coins, and I said, Christian, I said, I want you to go down, walk over there. There's a little tiny little store, and I want you to buy you a couple suckers. And you can have the suckers, and then I'll see you tomorrow. And I was leaving. So the next day I went back there, and he saw me, and he came running, and he said, I want to show you something. This is all in Spanish. He said, I want to show you something. And so I went over there, and he had showed me these two little chickens. And he had them on his shoulders. And I said, what's going on? He said, man, I really wanted those suckers. But I knew if I'd buy those chickens, I'd have eggs someday. And so that's what he did. Pretty cool story, huh? Yeah, it was pretty cool. You guys can go sit down. Thank you for coming. So the next picture here. This is some of the area that we work with. This picture is taken up high in the Andes. The top of this mountain here is around 22,000 feet. And you can see I was inside of the car when I took this, but well, where I live at in Lima is desert. It's one of the driest places in the earth, but we work way up high in the Andes that I'll talk about in a minute. And so this is some of the country up there. You can still see it's very fertile ground. They have lots of corn and potatoes and so forth. And between here and that mountain is a big valley called the Sacred Valley. And it drops down to the base of the floor is around 9,000 feet. And it's the river runs down through there to Machu Picchu. Have you ever heard of, any of you ever heard of Machu Picchu? It's one of the wonders of the world. And so that's that area there. So as you can see, it's very beautiful up in the Andes there. The snow line is around 17,000 feet. The next picture here, these are some of the people that work high up in the Andes. And so what we do is we go up, we load up a truckload of pillows and blankets and socks and shoes and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we head up to these really high villages, and some of them are around 15, 16,000 feet. So for a guy that's 59 years old, it's kind of hard, you know, 15, 16,000 feet. But we get out and we preach the gospel to these villages way, way up high in the Andes. And man, oh, the Holy Spirit just falls on us. We generally do a feeding with them, and these people here are asking the Lord to come live inside their heart. The next picture here, this is some of the children that live in these areas here. You can see how they're very poor. The little boy on the left, and you can see his shoes, those are made out of tires. And so what they do is they have those shoes that are made out of tires. So they are very, very poor. But this is the feedings, and kind of wanted to show you some of the children that we work with. The next picture here, this is a high school that I work with way up in the Andes. I only have two grades in there right now, but it's 270 high school students. And so I have actually a high school coming from Denver, Colorado, the week after next, and we're going to go up there and spend the day with these kids. And they bought every one of these kids new shoes and new clothes. And so we're going to go up there and wash their feet and put new shoes and feet on. But I'll tell you a story. The first time I went in there, we took a really good speaker from Cusco, and he went in and shared the gospel to these kids. But I want you to think about something. Most of these kids get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and they walk for 5 hours to school one way. They have their school, they turn around and walk 5 hours back to their home again. And so we went in and we preached the gospel to these kids. We had lunch. We have a projector that we can take in and show these kids movies and so forth or whatever we're going to be teaching them. And so after this was done, my son got up and began to speak to these boys' lives and girls' lives and told them about Jesus and how he wanted to come live inside their heart. And I've seen thousands of things in my life since I've been in Peru, but I saw something really amazing happen. When these people when these kids asked the Lord to come live inside their heart, these are high school kids, I saw such an amazing presence of the Holy Spirit. I saw these kids, without asking, I looked up and every one of them got on their face before God. It was the most moving experience I think I've ever seen in my life. It was really an incredible thing to see these kids' lives. So we go back up there once a month and minister to these kids. And we're going to be there in about 10 days with all new products for their school and so forth. The next picture here, we still work with our orphans. This picture of me on my left, you can see my glasses. That was taken just recently. And that's a girls' orphanage we work at. The boys on the right is a boys' orphanage. And so we still go in, man, and we invest into these kids' life and work alongside of these orphans, and they are the joy of my life. So the next picture here is we started these centers, and you can tell we're in the slums area there. And we call them all the same. They all look the same. They're called Casa de Luz, which means the House of Light. And they have a big rainbow on them. But what we have done with these buildings is we made them very, very nice on the inside. They have clean bathrooms, and we have, I'll talk more in just a second about it, but this is an aerial view with the drone, and this is where the area where these kids live. So next picture here, you can see where this picture on the right, I took it outside of the center from inside of the center took the picture. So you can see where the little boy with the chickens and so forth, this is how these people live. And this goes for miles and miles and miles and miles and miles and miles. So there's hundreds of thousands of people that live in poverty. The next picture here, you can see kind of a close-up of their house right there. And then it's in that area, not where I live at in one part of Lima, but that area, it's not uncommon to see vehicles still like that. And you can see how poor it is. I'm just trying to express to you the poverty in the world. The next picture here, centers, we do many things, and one of them is to build a home. And so we go in two times a month, and we build homes for the poor. And the little boy Christian with the chickens on, we built one for his family. So you can go ahead and get to the next picture, but I just want to tell you that to you and I, it's a glorified garden shed. To them, it's life. I mean, they couldn't be any more excited if you just said, hey, I'm building you a beachy home, you know. I mean, they're just think. And so we go in and we replace the beds and set them up where they have life. So this is the outside of the centers that we're building right now. You can see we put a rainbow. I'm taking the rainbow back, what God intended it for. And so it's a Casa de Luz. This is the outside of some of our buildings here. So the next picture here is the inside of it. So I'll just tell you real briefly what we do. We're closed Sunday and Monday. Tuesday through Friday, we're open every day at 1 o'clock. And so the children come in first at the centers. We have after-school programs. We have computer classes set up. We have teachers waiting for them to help them with their homework. We have clean bathrooms. The kids have snacks. And then at 4 o'clock, the kids go home, and 5 o'clock, the teens come in from 5 to 8 and do the same process, except at the end of both of those programs, we have a Bible study with the kids and generally worship with the kids. And then on Saturdays, we have a full-blown vacation Bible school. We're going through the books of the Bible. It's a CBN program. It's called Super Libro. And then we do a feeding for all the children. And then the teens come in, and they have their teen night. It's all worship and teaching to them. And then we started a young adults ministry. So at 8 o'clock, young adults come in, and that thing is just, like, exploded with kids that are in their 20s. And as you can see, I made them very, very nice. So they live in that mess outside, and they come in to programs like this, and they have found life inside of these buildings. So the next picture here. The downstairs, you can see how we did the walls and so forth. And these are children that just for vacation Bible school. And upstairs, we have games and puzzles and you know, foosball and ping pong and the list goes on. And right now, we're all three centers. I was telling David a while ago, a lot of these are the same children, but we're working with over 1,500 children per week. That's who we got preaching the gospel to, and they're dragging their friends with them, coming back. So the next picture here, there's Andrea. I don't know if you guys know Andrea or not. She'll be here for 8 weeks this summer helping out. But she took the girls. We bought them pajamas. They come to the center and have pajamas parties. You know, they never get to do something like that without this. And it just kind of gives you an example of what we're doing inside of the centers. The next picture here. Just same thing, kind of, just give you an example. The next picture here, please. What the Lord has spoken to me about, I want to just read you something really briefly here, is about taking our own vineyard. Let me read something, and then it's very short, and then I'll explain to you what we're going to be doing. This is a really amazing word, by the way, the Lord gave me about a month ago. And I wrote it down, and this is what it says. This is, for far too long, the enemy has plundered our harvest and those fortified walls have been neglected. In the Book of Solomon, I read where it says, they made me the keeper of vineyards, but my own I have neglected. We've been so busy helping others, so busy running after people, so busy running after things that we have not had time to tend to our own vineyard. God told me that he will be like the restorer of broken walls, and God is going to build for you blessings and goodness, and he will rebuild our walls. It will be our safe refuge, and he will be our strong tower. The Lord came to me in an amazing way and said, I want you to start doing your own vineyard. Instead of, we've worked alongside others for years. And so this next picture here, this old building here, the blue and green one right here, we're in the process of trying to buy it right now. And the next picture here, this is what we're going to turn it into. So what we're going to do is we're going to take buildings like this, and on the first level, we're going to start planting churches. So we have churches on the first floor. The first and second levels will have the teen centers in them, and the fourth level will be a tech center. So we're going to build bakeries and have people in there to teach these kids how to become plumbers, teach them how to wire, teach them something that we can put in their hands where they can go out in life and do this. So we're going to use this building as a template to start planting churches and build these all over those communities. And so we're real excited about that, but especially when the Lord came and said, you start working on your own vineyard, and that's what I'm going to do. So it's an amazing word that the Lord gave me. I'm about done here. The next picture here is I want to read you one other thing, and then I have a video, and I will be done. I want to make this very short for you guys this morning. But as you know, as you can see, I work in a sea of hopelessness. It's poverty and orphans as far as you can see. And I think the greatest thing that happened to me when I left here, I remember one day, I don't know if I ever told you this or not, David. I remember one day, every morning I get up and go for a walk or a bike ride, and I listen to God's voice, and what do you want to say to me, Lord? And one day I asked him, I said, Father, I said, why did you choose me? Why did you choose me to go to Peru and change these children's lives? And this is what he said to me. He said, it's wonderful you changed the children's lives. That's all well and good. But I didn't bring you here to change their lives. I brought you here to change yours. It's an amazing word that God gave me. And so with that comes this incredible responsibility. But the amazing thing, I can't express this enough, is how I have connected with God in ways that I never, ever thought possible. I hear from, you know, when the Bible talks about that my sheep hear their voice. Trust me, I hear God's voice. I know his voice. He speaks to me in incredible ways to anymore. I could write a book of the things that he has shown me since I've been there. And I think it's because, listen, this isn't about me. But God wants so much more in your lives than what you have right now. And I'm not preaching down to you. I'm not talking down to you. But he wants to take you to another level that I didn't even know existed. All of us, even me. And so how does that happen? It happened to me, I think, because I had a willing heart. For about two years, I'd asked the Lord, I said, break my heart for the things that broke your heart. And he did. And once that happened and he began to show me these things, he began to speak to me. And he told me about so please don't think I'm talking down to anybody. I'm not. I'm just telling you that there's just a whole nother level to ask God to take you to. Because it's a great place to be in life. But about a month ago, he was sitting there and he said, I'm going to call you a different name. And I'm like, oh. And I'm in between groups coming in and I'm tired and I'm laying on the couch. And he showed me something in Isaiah. I just opened up my Bible laying on the couch and he showed me this. And it was just so incredible. And I want to read this to you. It's very short. So just give me a second here. he was talking in reference, he was talking about how the people of Israel was fasting and how he wasn't accepting the fast because it wasn't real. Their hearts weren't real. And so the Lord in Isaiah said this. He said, true fasting that the Lord requires is this: to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of yoke. Now that means a lot to me because that's the world that I live in. To loose the chains of injustice. These people, these kids, these orphans live in a life of injustice. He goes on to say, to share your food with the hungry. To provide the poor with shelter. To clothe those who need clothes. That your light will break forth like the dawn. Then the glory and the righteousness of God will be your guard. Wow. Wow. Then you will cry out. It's so true. He says, then you will cry out. And you'll say, where are you, God? And God will say, here I am. Here I am. You don't have to look for him. If you're helping the poor and you're helping the orphan, he'll say, here I am. What do you need? And then he said this, and I will give you a new name. You will be called the repairer of broken walls. Now, I don't know what that means to you, but it meant everything to me. Because that's all my life has been the repairer of broken walls, and I don't think I'd ever even read it before. I just don't want you ever to think that I'm talking back down at you, because I don't know your life. But I'm just telling you that I want to encourage you to ask God to say, God, take me to that level where when I call to you and say, where are you? You're standing right there and say, here I am. Here I am. I have one more last video to show you. I wanted to keep it short for you guys this morning. I thank you for coming and seeing me this morning. This video just kind of closes what we've been doing this year and what we hope to do this year. David, thanks, man. Thanks for your heart. The next video, please.
We want to show you what we accomplished in 2017 and what we're going to accomplish for the kingdom this coming year. But I was reminded of something a few weeks back. The reason we do the things we're doing is because of so many wonderful friends and donors. My first thoughts are, of course, with my board of directors and the heart that these men and women have for the Lord, including the poor and the orphan and the great help that they have provided. I also am reminded of you and those who write the checks, big or small. It doesn't matter, as it all goes to such a worthy cause. I couldn't move forward without saying thank you on behalf of those who have no other voice than me. So on behalf of those, the ones who have stolen our hearts, once again, thank you.
We're going to close with a worship song. Larry will be back out in the, let's put him out back, where are you, Larry? Oh, yeah, just out back by the bookstore, just after the service. If people want to talk to you, there's tables out there and stuff like that. And so let me encourage you to pray for Larry. If you want to support Larry, he'd be happy to take your monies. Parents, you did a great job today with the kids. You did an awesome job, but thank you. Appreciate that. And let me encourage you again. God has called Larry to reach the kids in Peru and the orphans and widows and the kids and all the things he's doing. But you don't have to necessarily go across the nations to make the impact. You can go across the street to your neighbors. You can go across the yard to your neighbors. You can go across the aisle at the store or at the coffee shop and make the same kind of an impact that Larry's making across the in Peru. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, we thank you that we celebrate and we have Larry here and we celebrate every week. We listen to your word and we go out and make an impact because of the gospel, because of what you have done in our lives. And Lord, I just ask that you would enlarge our capacity, enlarge our vision for the power of the gospel, not just for our own lives, but for the lives of those around us, Lord. Open up our eyes to the hurting that are around us, Lord, that we wouldn't ignore them, that we wouldn't overlook them, but that we would reach out and step out and touch and speak and share to those who face a Christless eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand up, worship, and then if you'd like to talk to Larry, he'll be out there after the service.
The famous one, great is your name in all the earth. The heavens deeper, you're glorious, glorious, great is your fame beyond the earth. And for all. Revealed by nature, a miracle.
You guys so much for coming here in Larry, and again, on your way out, please stop by, connect with them. Thank you all for coming. Have an excellent week. We'll see you next time.